Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I am Aaron Loomis, coming to you from the Ventura Cigar Company studios. And with me, as always, is June Liu. How are you doing, June?
Doing good, man.
So today we are talking about our 2017 Cigar of the Year list. Our list is a little bit unique. We keep our list open as we continue to smoke releases from the list's year. So as we continue to smoke more 2017 releases, that they may make the list and may drop some off or, you know, move some stuff around. So that's one of the unique things that we have on our list. But we have a pretty simple criteria for what is able to make the list. One is the cigar had to be released in the calendar year of 2017, and the cigar had to have been reviewed by us on the site. So it's two really simple criteria. Doesn't matter if it was limited, store exclusive, anything like that. If we were able to get our hands on it and we were able to smoke it and review it, it qualified. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go through our top 10. Otherwise, we'd have a really long episode talking about, you know, the different cigars on our list going from 25 to 1. But we'll just go from 10 to 1. We'll start at 10 and work our way up. And June, we're going to start off with you. You had the Davidoff, the Master Selection 2008. What was your thoughts on this cigar?
Yeah, I mean, this is actually number 10 is very fitting because it kind of gives you a story of kind of how I rated this year's cigars and what I kind of focused on. So meaning Davidoff or something that's Davidoff-esque. So this definitely is one. For people that know me, I like flavor, I like balance, I like nuance, and this hits it in the ballpark. It hits it well enough to get into that upper, break that top 10, which is not easy. So the way I think about top 25 is, you know, that 10 to number one is when you're really over there focusing and saying, all right, what really stood out to me this year, right? Mm-hmm. And also within that, like, I had so many tiebreakers this year, and a lot of these tiebreakers were construction related, so which I weigh way less on as compared to the flavor experience. So from that 10 to 1 is where it really breaks that apart and says, all right, you know, let's not even talk about construction. What are just like really good flavorful cigars that I had? So this is what broke it for me.
Nice. Yeah, my number 10 was the Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Todos Los Dias Toro. This is a really good cigar, definitely high strength. And I actually think we're going to review another Vitola later on this year. I actually think that it may score better than this one, so it actually might move up the list a bit for me. Can't remember. Did this make your list lower down? I don't think so.
I don't think so. No. I didn't have any Dunbarton Trust as top 25 this year.
So the next Patola we smoke might bump up into your list. But I thought it was a really good cigar. I mean, good flavor, but a higher level strength is very good. You know, not my favorite from the company. I'm a kind of a Sober Mesa guy. But it's still a very good cigar in its own right. And I know a lot of people have really loved this cigar this year. It's made really high on other people's lists. So I think that is done well. So it made number 10 for me. So your number 9 was the Cornelius and Anthony Senora Sugars Robusto.
This was really shocking, to be honest. I just reviewed this cigar like 2 days ago.
Right.
The reason why it's shocking is because I'm not surprised that Cornelius and Anthony, especially Cornelius and Anthony's partnership with Lozona, right? So stuff that comes out of Lozona that I enjoy. I do enjoy them. But what I am surprised by this is by far, bar none, the most strongest cigar that I've had in a very long time, and it cracked my top 10.
Right.
And usually I'm not a fan of stuff that's like really heavy, right? Like a lot of spice, a lot of earth. That to me gives me it wrecks my palate, destroys my palate. But this is really different. This cigar is what I just said, but it also somehow maintains, like a real natural sweetness and creaminess to the cigar, that I found really interesting. And that held, within the entire time smoking the cigar, which is quite a feat in my opinion, within what my palate tastes, of course. Right. So this definitely is, on my list this year for when I want to, like, the few times I want to get my ass kicked, this is what I'm going to go to.
There you go. All right, my number nine was the Saga Short Tales Tomo 3 LIV. This was a bit of a surprise for me as well. Very small cigar, Dominican. Interesting look to it, but kind of really jumped out at me in regards to the flavor delivery. I wasn't really sure what to expect from this cigar. I have smoked some other cigars from Saga. This may be one of the best ones I've smoked from them. But it was really, it's just this really nice small cigar that just packs a lot of flavor into it. And it just, I'm not really sure how to describe it. It was just a unique experience. Maybe it was just because of my expectations going into it that jumped out at me, but the flavor is really good. Construction is pretty good as well. There's a few other, a few other, of this, line that have different sizes. I'm interested in trying all of them. I mean, it's just something that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's so. Speaking of Short Tails, and what Saga brought, I don't think it hit any of my top 25 at all. But what I do find interesting, and just because it didn't hit my top 25, it is by no means it was a bad cigar, and I wouldn't smoke it again. First of all, right? So let's just get that away. It's not like, oh, this is shit. Fuck it, right? So, very few cigars out there can deliver such a small format and have such flavor like these Short Tails do, in my opinion, right? But you gotta, with such a small ring gauge and such a short cigar, you really gotta have to watch that draw. Like, you draw in too fast, it's gonna get bitter, it's gonna heat up really quick. And that's what I found within all of these Short Tails. But if you take your time and you treat it like a Robusto size, right? Like, you take your time on it, you'll get surprisingly amount of flavors out of it. So
yep, exactly. All right, so your number eight is the Avo Synchro South America Ritmo Toro.
Yep, so back when we were back at number 10 talking about the Master Selection 2008 from Davidoff, and I said this is going to be kind of a theme for me for top 10, and this is an example of it, right? So Avo, coming from the bigger umbrella Davidoff, love the cigar, man. Like, I mean, this Toro, which I believe was a box pressed version that we had, it's a beast of a cigar, but it kept my attention the whole time. It was nuanced, it was complex. There's also like a vibrancy to it that I really enjoyed, and I loved it. And how fitting it is, given what happened at Alvo this past year. So,
right. So my number eight scores higher on your list. So we're gonna skip that for me. So we'll go back into your seventh. You scored the Sereno Wayfarer Corona Gorda.
So this is, I believe, Sereno Company's sophomore release, right?
Yeah.
So, I just think when we were talking to Carson, the brand owner, or one of the brand owners, I guess, behind Sereno, I remember talking to him at IPCPR, and I was like, oh, Wayfarer, like, what is this? Because, he gave this story of, like, taking a journey and backpacking and all that kind of stuff. And I was figuring, like, all right, what's the tobacco, right? Like, this, it's not from Aganorsa. And I even said this in my review, but it's so Aganorsa-ish, right? Where it's just like really deep in flavor that I really enjoyed about this. And I think Carson has a really good winner within the sophomore release.
Yep, it was a nice cigar. Number seven for me was the Foundation, the Wise Man Maduro Corona Gorda. This is a really nice cigar. It's done really well this year on the list. That's not the reason it's on my list. It's just very flavorful. Really nice cigar. Construction's fantastic. It really focuses on flavors for me. And the size is right. I'm definitely interested in trying some of the Vitolas just to see what the experience is like. But this Corona Gorda is a really nice size in this, and it did really well for me. So that made it for number seven for me. We're going to skip your number six because it makes it up higher on my list. So we'll hop over to my number six, which is the Bombay Tabac Gaia Torpedo. This is this is a really interesting cigar, and a lot of the Bombay cigars or Bombay Tabac cigars are that way. It's just it has very interesting, nuanced flavors. different woods like sandalwood and things like that, and very mild spices. I would call it very refined. And it's one of those stuff you have to really like sit down and focus to be able to pick out all those flavors. I mean, you could smoke it any other cigar and it would be enjoyable, but if you really want to understand the cigar, you have to sit down, focus, retrohale, spend your time with it, and enjoy it. But has a little bit of a higher price point, but it delivers the experience, I think, to kind of earn a lot of that cost back. And that, I think that made it a little bit lower on your list, number 25, actually. So,
I really enjoy this. I mean, for me, Emerald Bay has been a hit and miss for me for within the last couple of years of smoking that brand. But this one, for me, was finally where I said, oh, okay. It is well worth taking double, triple looks on in Bombay and what it could do. So,
yep, exactly. All right, number five for you was the Hit and Run Super Toro.
Yep. So, this was definitely one of the anticipated cigars of the show, and it delivered. Number five. Now, top five we're talking. All right, the real true upper echelon of like what do I want to go deep on in terms of like box buys and that kind of thing, right? Loved it. I mean, I think Matt Booth did a really good job with this one and being partnered with this. This kind of cigar fits my wheelhouse, right? Like, it's one of those where it's like buttery, it's creamy, it's not really straightforward. I love that, especially coming from, Cuban cigar kind of a background. This is really, really enjoyable.
Number five for me is the Drew Estate FSG Toro. This is I think I would consider this a polarizing cigar. I think people are either going to really like it or really not like it. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of people kind of in the middle ground on this cigar. Has some very unique flavors. I get some citrus notes out of it. And I don't think it's just because of, you're thinking Florida. It's got an interesting, and the citrus notes are interesting because it's, you get a little bit of the citrus kind of spiciness, but I also get kind of that the white fleshy part between the rind and the fruit itself. It's just kind of like a fluffiness with like a little bit of a citrus undertone that you kind of get from like kind of the remnants of the fruit itself. But there's a lot of deep earthiness in this cigar, like just like dirt, and that may sound weird to people, but sometimes you just that earthiness and that dirt just like really enhances some of the flavor notes. And then this thing, I don't know, man. You have to be careful when you smoke this because people might call the fire department thinking your house is on fire because of the amount of smoke it puts off. But it's a pretty good cigar, and it's definitely something that's worth checking out.
Yeah, that's.
I think it hit 15 on your list.
Yep. So I also enjoyed it, right? Hitting 15 on my list, like you were saying. So this is another one that's really fresh in my head because I just reviewed this like a few days ago as well. So what I thought about this cigar was I was so focused on like the tannins of the cigar, right? Tannins is actually a term I feel like needs to get thrown out more when you review cigars, spirits, whatever, right? Because it really enhances mouthfeel, especially, right? Mm-hmm. So, and now that I think about that and I hear your comments about like the earthiness of the cigar, it's definitely is that, like, a lot of wine guys especially will talk about like the terroir, right? And what mm-hmm. they really talk about within a lot of that is they talk about the like soil content and tasting the soil, tasting the terroir, tasting the earth, right? Like tasting where the grapes come from and the roots, right? And the soils and all that good stuff. So I really, whether it's in my head or whatnot, I really tasted it with this FSG. I was actually not excited to review this cigar. I remember smoking this at the trade show this last year in July, and it wasn't a good experience. But again, everything at IPCPR, I heavily discount when I smoke it because it's usually typically it's the exact opposite. If I didn't like it, then bring it back, give it proper humidity, and it's super good. So I'm really glad that my expectations of it not being so good was shattered by the actual right. review.
Yep, exactly. All right, number four for you is the Mombacho Cosecha 2012.
Yep, so once again, going back to the Davidoff connection, this is one of them, but in a different twist. meaning the master blender behind Mombacho, Claudio, you know, being topped by Henke, you know, it shows, right? Like, but Claudio always has, he also has his own spin on it, right? Like, this cigar is limited, it's unique, you taste vintage, hopefully when the other ones come out, and you taste depth, right? Like, it's a building strength cigar, which I didn't expect, almost to the point where it gets a little too full at the end for me, but that's the unique thing of it, right? Like, being that it's 2012, you smoke another one next year, and just down the road in general, and you could get a better sense of, like, how that cigar evolved. Mm-hmm. Really flavorful, all about flavor. So think, like, Liga Maestro Doble Robusto from Mbacho, Awesome from Mbacho, the 10th anniversary, Magnifico. I mean, it's in those lines, but it's really good. Like, and I remember smoking this at IPCPR, and then I was thinking, man, like, I hope it's this good when we go back home.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a really interesting concept with the, you know, the whole vintage concept, and that knowing that there's already more vintages from, you know, years after that are going to be coming out. So I think, you know, people are looking forward to that as well. Number four for me was the Southern Draw Jacob's Ladder Robusto. This is another cigar that's just kind of, like you were talking about that Senora Sugars kind of just like beating you down. Like, this is another cigar that's got that strength component to it. And, you know, a lot of people have kind of reported that's what it is. It's really very full. You know, I thought it had some strength to it. I would say kind of more in the medium full. I don't think it ever got to, you know, the top full line for me. But it also has a ton of flavor along with the strength. It's not just strength for strength's sake. And it did really well. I mean, lots of nice, nice notes in there that just kind of complement each other, and that, you know, it's like darkness to go along with the strength. And sometimes when those kind of two pair together, you just get a really nice experience. So it was a great cigar. It's done very well on other lists as well. So I think it's going to be a really big year for Southern Draw. Number three for you, the Alec Bradley Prensado Lost Art Robusto.
I think this one's going to make people go, what? What the fuck were you thinking? and when I say that, I probably think most of the like craft cigar boutique smokers, right? Such as probably most people that read our website are probably right within that range, and follow more of the like blogging, you know, type of media outlets. Right. So I was shocked, man. I remember smoking this, and then I think I texted you. This is after you reviewed and everything, so there was no bias, right?
Right.
And I was like, holy shit, man. Like, I was like, this is amazing. it was really good, dude. Like, it was it reminded me of the original release of the Prensado, meaning before Cigar Aficionado gave it the number one, and in my opinion, quality tanked after that.
Right.
So it reminded me of that, reminded me of a stronger version of that. So much flavor. You know, this is something, this is probably gonna be if not the first time I buy a box of Alec Bradley.
Right.
So
yeah, I think it's a good cigar, and I don't know that I've seen many people even just review this cigar. Hmm. So I think it's, you know, it's probably not going to make a lot of lists because a lot of people just didn't review it. But I think that they're probably missing out.
No, I think absolutely.
The experience that you had is fantastic. I enjoyed the cigar. It didn't make my list, but it was still an enjoyable cigar. You can, you know, read the review and see. My number three was the Aroa, the first 20 years Colorado Robusto. This is a fantastic cigar. I'm not going to say it's at the nuance level of the Bombay Tabac Gaia, and that's not a bad thing. It's not like I'm saying it has to be more nuanced, because obviously this is higher on the list. But it's another one of those cigars where it's not like just kind of in your face flavor. It's like, you know, you kind of need to sit down with it and focus on it to appreciate what's given to you. But I just think the Colorado is like a little bit of a step above the original, the first 20 years that Christian came out with. But it's a really nice cigar. I mean, very smooth. It's not, you know, it's kind of medium level strength. It's just something that you can enjoy kind of any time of the day. You had a comment on that?
Yeah, I also enjoyed it. If I remember correctly, I think Coop was the one that said, hey, yes, you know, check this one out, right?
So yeah, I mean, number 18 on your list.
Oh, okay, nice. I mean, I knew that.
Right. it's hard to remember where they all place. I mean, you know.
It's a lot of freaking cigars. But and I thought, man, like this is like this almost reminds me of like the good old heydays of Camacho. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I miss those days, right? Like I think Aladino does a good job of that now, right?
Yeah.
This falling under like just like the CLE umbrella, right?
Yeah.
So I hope, you know, they bring out more of this kind of stuff. Beautiful wrapper, really good flavors, really fresh spice. Loved it.
Yep. Yep. Very good cigar. All right. Number two is the same for both of us. So it's the only one that matched up numbers for us. And that is the Smoking Jacket Hanky. Talk about it.
Yeah. So, hey, once again, right? This is the Davidoff reference again. You know, Hanky blended, Hanky flavors, like just sweetness for days, earthiness for days, that classic, like that Hanky style of hay and grassiness, all wrapped up in a $9 cigar. Incredible value. I mean, this is, you know what I'm bummed out about this one is I feel like this one doesn't get talked about. I don't think this one's going to get talked about much this year.
No.
And that's really, really unfortunate because if you like Davidoff especially and just the greater Davidoff umbrella, minus, you know, the Camacho stuff probably, but like especially like the Avo Davidoff lines, no way you should pass up on this. You know, I always go as far as to say you should buy a box because you're going to be like chafing through this. Like California just opened up dispensaries earlier this year.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, everything you said is spot on, man. It's fantastic flavors, fantastic price point. There's nothing to complain about in regards to the cigar. I mean, I was amazed at the price point, for one, after I knew it, you know, after I smoked it. You know, you get to know the price going into it. You're like, okay, it's a $9 cigar. Let's see what it does. But then you smoke it, and you're like, why is this a $9 cigar? Like, you know, it's like you said, it's Davidoff level, could demand Davidoff price kind of thing. So, fantastic cigar. All right, let's get to our number ones. Your number one cigar. Oh, go ahead. Your number one cigar is
Davidoff. So, making it first full circle. At number 10, it was the Davidoff Master Selection 2008. So my number one is the Master Selection 2010. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that don't know, Davidoff created these Master Selection series, and they named them, you know, for various years. So version is it is an expensive cigar, so mm-hmm. it's like $35. But I don't care how much the cigar is, right? Like, well, to a certain extent I do, but, and this one, it's fitting to get number one because this is bar none, the best cigar I had this year. So, like I said, with all the other Davidoff-esque cigars out there, it's a lot of flavor. I have a newfound, appreciation for Davidoff. I mean, I think about Davidoff last year, and I smoked kind of like the, perhaps you could call like the new wave of Davidoff, right? The Yamasas, the Nicaragua, right? So kind of the bolder, perhaps rendition, the redesign that the facelift Davidoff, perhaps you could say. But now that I smoke this year of like things like the Master Selection, I would even put the Smoking Jacket Hanky on this one, right? Like, where it's kind of going back to what I believe is more classic Davidoff flavors, right? I have a newfound appreciation for it. When I first started smoking cigars, I had no idea why people smoked Davidoff, to be honest with you.
Right.
I was just kind of like, it's because my palate wasn't trained. My palate didn't know nuance. It didn't appreciate complexity. But now that it does, this is, it's really good. I mean, there was no like, oh, what should be my number one this year? Like, this is a clear cut winner for me. And you know, if once budget allows, I'll happily, you know, get more.
Yep. All right. Number one for me is the Cubarcano Protocol Famous Toro. This is a really fantastic cigar. Flavors are just on point. strength level is, you know, right where it needs to be to match up with the flavor. Construction is really good. I'm not really sure, you know, how to really describe it. It just it hits me in the right spot when I smoke it. I think the Toro is the right size for this cigar. It's just a little bit better than the Robusto. But it's really nice. I mean, I guess it kind of goes along with like the current trend with the Connecticuts, where it's, you know, it's Connecticut shade, but it's supposed to be a little pumped up in regards to strength. So it's not like a traditional mild Connecticut or anything like that. But I think they really walked that line of when it was not, you know, it wasn't too much strength, but it was able to keep that kind of the Connecticut profile in there, if that makes sense. It wasn't, you know, one wasn't kind of overtaking the other. There was a nice balance between those. So that just, it just did it for me. So it landed number one for me. You know, the big difference between this and the Hanky in regards to the performance was just some construction stuff. So, you know, I kind of put those two cigars are very even in regards to the my overall experience. It was just some slight construction differences that kind of split this up for me.
Yep. So this particular cigar, the Themis Toro, was actually my number six. So, in other words, I really thought highly of it as well. I mean, I'm at this point, I'm sick of people coming out, brand owners, manufacturers coming out and be like, it's not your dad's, your grandfather's Connecticut shade anymore, right?
Right.
But this one is great in the sense that when I first smoked it, I thought, man, like it has that Lazona characteristic, right? It doesn't have that spice pop in the beginning necessarily. It doesn't have that at all, actually. But what it does is it still holds a really good job of giving body. I remember smoking this and I smoked probably 5-6 more after the review ones. Right. And I've always thought, man, I really enjoy the body. I really enjoy that funk, like barnyardy, like body. It's still being really creamy and sweet. You know, some might think that your number one Themis is probably attributed to Juan Cancel's amazing marketing skills. but hey, our palates say it's a really damn good cigar. So it is what it is.
And going back to your number one, the Master Selection 2010, that was number eight on my list. So. For those of you keeping score at home, there were three cigars that made both of our top tens. That was the Smoking Jack and Hanky's number two for both of us. So if you were kind of doing an average score between the two of us, that would be the number one. But the Davidoff Master Selection 2010 and the Protocol Themis were the other two. So those are the three cigars. And it was basically my number one, June's number one, and our combined number two. Those are the cigars that matched our list through the top ten. So really good company for those three cigars to make it. So. You have some other thoughts in regards to how you kind of ranked this year?
Yeah, I mean, I had some pretty big ties within that, like 10 to like 22 range. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, it didn't take long for me to, look at them all in one spreadsheet and to list them out, in my order preferences. You know, when I'm looking at my list, especially focusing on the top 10, I'm pretty pleased with it. I feel like it mixes a lot of different styles of tobacco, right? Like different flavor profiles, different bodies, different smoking experiences, right? Like I have something that's super light and flavorful, which is like the Hit and Run Super Toro. And I have someone that's something that typically that most likely will absolutely kick me in the ass every time is Cornelius Anthony's Senora cigars, right?
Yep.
And then I have something that's just with refinement and complexity within Davidoff Master Selections and Hankies. And then I have something that's just like, man, I'm so glad I smoked this, or else I would have had no idea, which is the Alec Bradley's Prensado Last Art.
Yep.
So, you know, this... You know, when I think about my top list, this kind of affirms that no doubt that I'm still developing my palate, right? Like mm-hmm. my cigar journey is still ongoing. It's not stagnant. I don't ever want it to be stagnant because at that point, I think I'll really lose focus and interest in the industry. I learned a lot about my palate as well this year. And my top 10 is a good representation of that, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with everything you said. I think our lists are very good and spread out. I don't think it's just a particular kind of flavor profile or a certain brand focus or anything like that. You know, we really kind of spread out what we're reviewing across the year to make sure that we're getting a lot of stuff that maybe things that we weren't even aware of until we ran into a brand or something like that, or somebody mentioned it to us. Trying new stuff that coming out from new companies, as well as, you know, things that came out from, you know, long established companies. So I think that that's good. And just to make sure everybody knows is that the rankings for our reviews are for our list is based on our reviews over the year. So it's not like at the end of the year we kind of just say, oh, we want to pick 25 cigars and put them on the list. It's based on how we've scored them throughout the year. The only time where we put any kind of you know, added thought into it is when we have a scoring tie, and then we just basically get to rank those cigars that were tied up in the order that we feel, but they don't get to move out of that scoring number that they had. They're just ordered in that thing. So you know, how we scored it in the review, it's how it goes into the list. So there's no other kind of behind the scenes movement. So you can follow through the year on the overall list and see where things are stacking up. So.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point you bring up, because I found it really hard this year because I smoke so much just like quote unquote good cigars, not very good, not amazing, fantastic, 1% upper 1% echelon, none of that, just good cigars, right? That after a while, I just said to myself, man, I can't definitively say which of these good cigars should be at what, at what rank, right? Specific rank. So one of my methodologies was I'm just gonna rate everything. What if it's just like a good cigar, good. And at the end of the year, I'm gonna sit down and say, all right, within these tiebreakers, how am I gonna differentiate between every single one of these?
Yeah, because when you're doing the review, when you're scoring a flavor profile for one of the thirds, you know, to go from a good to a very good, there's got to be some significant experience there for you to make you want to make that move up to very good. So you can't just say, you know, I think I like this one a little bit better than one other one I rated, so I need to give this one a very good because it didn't earn that very good flavor profile. So you have to score them in that level that you get. And if you end up with a kind of a pool of them in that number, and then you just have to do some, you know, you use your judgment to kind of make some of the rankings there, and then just kind of have to wait the fine tuning you have to do there. All right, any other final thoughts on this?
You know, when I think about what else that I feel like it's always a bummer as well, publishing a top 10, top 25 list, cigar of the year kind of list, because there's so many other cigars that we didn't get a chance to smoke. I feel like, right? Like,
And that we're
I
going to be
mean,
continuing to smoke.
absolutely, which is why our list, right, our top list is from inception of our website to however long we're gonna do this, hopefully a very long time, pending FDA. So but it also bums me out that, for instance, like if I, now that we published a list, I smoke something in a couple of months that I didn't get to, and then I realize it's, you know, really good, like that hype is kind of missed,
Yeah,
right?
they don't get the placement in regards to the announcement. You know,
Right.
it's kind of an after the fact that they make it into the list, but they don't get the fanfare that goes along with it.
But like at the same rate, like, you know, Aaron and I, we're both, we have full-time jobs. You know, Aaron's got a family. Like, you know, we even within all of that, we review around on average two cigars a week, which is not a small task. I feel like we're at a good pace as well, but it's just, there's just so much out there, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the same for everybody. There's no site, there's no magazine that can do everything that qualifies for this. They can't. There's just no way to do it. So you just have to pick what you can pick, and then you go review through those, and you're gonna miss some. You're gonna miss some gems, and it's just the way it's gonna work. And that's why you have to look at more than one list, because somebody else's list is gonna have something that somebody else didn't even smoke. And if they say it's high and then it's good, then it's something else. You know, I read all the lists, June reads all the lists. We like to see what other people put up. We want to know if there's something that we didn't get to that we really should focus on trying to acquire so that we can smoke it, or, at the minimum and try to review it if we can. So, all right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. You can always catch this in our review recaps on YouTube, and be sure to subscribe to us there and on podcast. So iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in, and a great 2017, and we will catch you next year on this list.